Welcome to Think Big with Dan and Qasim. Join host Dan Melnick and Qasim Masood as they explore big ideas, limitless possibilities, and engage with visionaries, entrepreneurs, and thought leaders who dare to dream big. Get inspired, motivated, and find practical tips for personal growth. Think big, dream bigger, and ignite your potential.
All right. Welcome back, everybody. Our guest today, Michael Schroer. Michael, please tell us where you're calling in from and what you do for a living with Schroer Cattle Co.
Yeah, so I'm Michael Schroer. My wife is Amy, and we have two daughters, Oakley and Remy. We're from a small town of Lawrence, Nebraska, roughly 320 people in the town of Lawrence. Very rural area. We farm and ranch, and then we direct market beef as well.
That's amazing. So I know we chatted a little bit just off the air here about a lot of farmers that I've been speaking to seem to be embracing more of a D2C model than doing the traditional kind of like wholesale 100% of the time. So have you found yourself getting into that more? I mean, I see on the website you're selling, you know, anywhere from half to eighth cow. What have you kind of seen changing on that side of things? Is that something you've been pushing more into, or can you tell me a little bit about that?
Yeah, I think a lot of people are liking, or they're starting to buy, you know, local, I guess. They're kind of going away from the big chains, you know, like the Walmart, Hy-Vee, stuff like that. Just because, you know, the quality of beef is better and you know exactly where it comes from, you know, knowing your farm, starting to be a big thing now.
Yeah, no, for sure. And do you find like the people that are buying from you online or direct from you are mostly, you know, local to Nebraska or kind of in the like general surrounding areas, or how far do you actually ship on an order from somebody that orders from the website? Will you ship like nationwide if somebody wants it? Or
we just started this last year. We're just starting to look into the shipping. This is our second year doing it. We're just starting to look into the shipping so we can go nationwide. But right now we are just delivering with our pickup and trailer. We'll go, you know, Lincoln's 2.5 hours, Omaha's 3 hours, you know, Kearney. Actually, when we're done here, I'm heading down to Hayes, Kansas to deliver a quarter beef down there. So we travel, you know, 3.5 hours to deliver.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. And what are you going to find is the biggest driver to, you feel like people buying online, or are you obviously delivering directly? So I assume you're having like direct conversations with these customers, which is awesome. What are you going to find is their biggest want to, you know, buy something local that they know where it's coming from? I mean, not wanting to just buy from whatever is in the grocery store anymore.
So I guess a lot of the beef, you know, you'll find at Walmart and stuff like that. You know, it's imported, you know, it's not grown in America. You know, I mean, typically it's coming from Brazil or Argentina, something like that. So I think, you know, they just like the, I guess, ease of mind that, you know, exactly what you're getting. Everything we sell is born on our ranch. They know exactly what we do with it. We raise it for its entire life, you know, up until butcher.
Yeah, that's amazing. And I also heard there's a lot of imported beef from Australia. One of the other farmers I spoke to is like, that's like one of the biggest, which is like, it's so surprising to me, like the amount of beef that's produced in the United States, that so much of it is imported. Like, do you feel like is that because of like, we're just mass exporting so much of the beef that's produced in the US that we're having to turn around and import, or are we really just still not producing enough to like fit consumers' needs?
I think we can produce enough probably, and I'm no expert in this part of it, you know, so I don't know exactly the reasoning for the importing, but I guess in my opinion, you know, they're importing beef because it is cheaper than actually raising it here, and they're, you know, exporting ours because, you know, we have a quality product and they're making a little bit of money on that.
Yeah, no, it's really interesting. And I mean, do you find people that are like obviously kind of wary? I mean, in 2024, I feel like everybody's wary of the types of ingredients and things that are going into, I feel like people are just more generally more aware of what they're eating. So do you ever get any questions from customers they deliver to about, you know, like what kind of vaccines are you using, the feed and all that kind of stuff? Does that seem to be a big concern of people that you're delivering direct to as well?
Yes, they do. So and we do implants or growth hormones or anything. We do vaccinate just, you know, for the health of the cattle. And, you know, like if there are issues, you know, like foot rot, pink eye, I'll treat them for that just because, I mean, you don't want to see them suffer. And that doesn't affect the quality of the meat at all. But yeah, we don't do any growth hormones or anything like that. So, I mean, they're about as clean as they can get.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. I know that's a big concern for a lot of people these days, and it's just so impossible to tell. It's the things you buy from the grocery store. I mean, they're not labeled as anything. You don't even know where it's coming from most of the time. They're so like vaguely labeled. Who the hell knows even where they're coming from, really?
Yeah.
So yeah, that definitely makes sense. And I guess I'm curious for like, you know, the other side of your business. Obviously, you're going to maintain your traditional kind of wholesale. What kind of revenue categories are you in on that side of things? You're doing mostly grocery stores. You do any kind of like local, you know, specialty stores in that way, or, and is that all local, or are you doing wholesale anymore, like nationwide, or is it really just more like the general vicinity of where the farm is?
So I guess typically what we do is my steers, I do still take to the sale barn, just because, you know, we do have bills to pay and stuff like that. So this year we direct marketed 13 head. So we're, you know, we're still growing and like to get up to 25, 30 eventually. So I do take my steers to the sale barn. Prices were really good this year. I just couldn't afford not to. So I guess what we do is every heifer has a chance to breed. So I'll turn the bull out for one cycle and whatever comes up open, you know, goes into the feedlot and then they get finished out. And that's what we market as beef. So that's where we're a little different as well. Most people, you know, they'll buy a 650 or 700 lactating calf, and they'll throw them in the feedlot, and they'll start on a growing ration. Then ours are running on grass until they're 950 pounds, and then we throw them in the feedlot to finish them on corn and prairie hay, and then we'll finish them out to that 1300 pounds. But they're living most of their life on grass.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's definitely something that's unique, and I know that's like people who are really, really into like understanding where their beef is coming from. If they're big like beef consumers, you know, the types of feeds and things are definitely a big thing I feel like people are looking for these days. So I think it is definitely very unique in that way. Can you tell me a little about, I guess, when did you start, you know, doing this kind of direct to consumer, direct deliveries like you're doing now? Did that start kind of like during COVID era? That seems to be the general kind of consensus with other folks that I've spoken to. Is kind of something that came about during that time when like a lot of what you could get was pretty much only online. So
yeah, so 22 was our first year we started marketing. So it was still kind of COVID, you know, but it wasn't the middle of COVID, I guess, when we started. But yeah, that was definitely, you know, a pushing point. You know, we're like, man, you know, you can't even go to the grocery store hardly. So I mean, if we just deliver to their house, and we thought we'd be able to reach more people by doing that too, just because, you know, making sales in Omaha, they're not going to travel 3 hours to come pick up their beef. So
right.
If we have I think in a couple of weeks, we'll be going to Omaha with a load of, we're delivering 3 head up there.
That's awesome. Is that just a one buyer, like one like actual like single person or?
No, our biggest order is quarter beef. So I mean, that'll be
gotcha.
12 different families, you know.
Right. No, that's awesome. And I know you said you've been thinking kind of about the logistics of doing more to kind of nationwide, like shipping and things like that, which is obviously a challenge. Anytime you have to do something either like frozen or dry iced or even refrigerated, it can be extra expensive. So yeah, what have you kind of been finding as far as like challenges on that side of things? And what are you kind of figuring out on that side of things right now?
Our biggest challenge is we are in such a rural area. You know, we have to travel 45 miles to the nearest like UPS place to ship it out. So it's very time consuming, and my wife still has a full-time job, and I'm still, you know, running the farm and ranch.
Right.
It would be probably a couple days a week, you know, I'd be taking to do that. I mean, the cost is, we would have to up our prices, you know, just to cover the shipping. And the cost is, it's fairly expensive to ship frozen products, you know, especially like a quarter beef where you're shipping 110 pounds at a time. Then yeah, traveling up there all the time is another issue for us right now.
Yeah. So what do you find as like kind of alternatives to some of these challenges where like, you know, the UPS is so far away? And I mean, if you have any conversations with any like maybe distributors or anything like that. I mean, distributors, I guess, kind of gets back into the realm of wholesale. So what are your kind of plans for that side of things? I mean, it's taking up 2-3 days of your time, you know, doing the 45 minutes back and forth to UPS is kind of a lot. So what are you kind of thinking and expanding on that side of things?
It would have to be, you know, where we get to a place if we're selling 20, 25 head, you know, like we are now, where we're just delivering it. Mm-hmm. That would probably be enough to where my wife could potentially quit her job, and then she kind of takes over the shipping part, you know. That's kind of what we're waiting for.
And in talks with like anybody who's maybe, you know, worked with you and like what that would look like if you were to do it, what is the general consensus around like, you know, what that would look like? Would you do like a vacuum seal with dry ice? Or it seems to be a lot of different ways people go about, you know, the logistics of shipping across the country from like, you know, the Midwest to California or East Coast. So in your talks with people, as you're obviously thinking about, you know, maybe expanding on this, what have you found is kind of the most efficient way, or, you know, the best way to preserve quality and do things that way? Yeah,
dry ice would definitely be the best way. They do make some gel packs now that are really good that you just put in there. But yeah, it's basically just a styrofoam cooler, you know, and you put a bunch of enough dry ice in there for 2-3 days or whatever, you know, it takes to get delivered. And but again, that's, I think our closest place to get dry ice would probably be an hour and a half away.
Oh my god. Yeah.
So yeah, that is the biggest issue for us is availability.
Right. Yeah, that's awesome. So when did you actually get started in this business with the ranch? I mean, was this like a family ranch that you took over at some point in your life, or was it something you bought along the way? Or
yeah, so we're the fourth generation. We just moved into the home place here in 2020, I believe. So we recently just took over, and my dad always raised, fattened out 5 head or so just for family and friends and stuff.
Right.
And we continued to do it for a couple of years, and he did it just out of the goodness of his heart. You know, he wasn't making any money on it, and I don't really want to do this just to break even. So
right,
we decided we'd try to make a business out of it, and so far it's worked well.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. And I guess one thing I always like to ask, you know, everybody that comes on the podcast, if you go back to, you know, when you got started, like taking over the ranch full time, everything you've learned now about, you know, doing the direct to consumer model, doing, you know, all the rest of the business that you're doing, even about the operation to the ranch itself, if you go back and give yourself one piece of advice, if you go back to the beginning, first when you first took over, what do you think that piece of advice would be?
Kind of just take it slow, and I mean, learn as you go, I guess. I mean, we kind of jumped full force into this, and it was a lot of beginning, you know. It was a lot of, when we were setting up the website and stuff, it was a lot of 1 a.m. mornings, you know, working on the website. And I used to be an agronomist as well, so I was selling seed and scouting at the same time, trying to do this, and probably take it slow and learn a little more as you go. But we just kind of jumped in and did it.
Yeah, you probably not surprised surprised to hear that's actually a very common answer to that question. I mean, across industries, I mean, we have people on from anywhere from like CPG brands to jewelry to apparel and shoes. At least 5 to 10 people, I would say, that's been on the podcast that have had the same answer to that question. And because it's true, it's so important. I mean, when you decide to put 2 feet into this thing that you know is like, you know, going to be your lifeblood and your, you know, support for your family, I feel like it is easy to kind of get lost in just like the day-to-day operations and the growth and the numbers and all that stuff and the website and all these 100 things that always need to be done. But I think it's good advice. I mean, we have a lot of other entrepreneurs that are listeners and business owners. So I think it's important to hear that time and time again from, you know, business owners like yourself, especially with ranching, because it's, you know, it's obviously super time consuming. So it's one of the biggest examples of like, yeah, you do still need to stop and look around and be present and understand, you know, but like really take a look back at like what's changed, what you have learned along the way naturally. You might not even have a chance to reflect on it all the time. So I think that's really good advice. Even might be like high level and like maybe kind of simple in retrospect. You'd like say that to yourself, but for somebody maybe starting off with something brand new, I think it is really good advice. So I appreciate that. And just want to give you an opportunity. You know, if anybody listening might be maybe interested in, you know, partnering with you, buying from you, what's the best way to keep in touch with you guys and, you know, find out more about the brand?
Our website, you know, has all our contact information at shorecattleco.com. My phone number's on there, email's on there. You know, you can find us on Facebook, Instagram. My wife runs that.
Awesome.
But yeah, she lets me know when there's messages and stuff like that I need to get back to. So yeah, cool. We're available online and yeah, you can reach out however you like.
Awesome. Well, thank you again, Michael. I really appreciate your time. This growing space in ranching and beef has been really, really interesting. So I wish you the best of luck in everything that you're doing, all the new things that you're looking to be doing. So yeah, just want to say thank you again. I wish you good luck and continued success.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks so much, Michael. Take care.
Thanks
everybody.